What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Loonsville. I am Jeff, and I'm here with Sid and Bella.
Hello!
And we did stuff, watched things. Tonight, we actually watched one of my top 10 favorite movies that have come out recently in the horror genre, Invisible Man.
Nice.
Ooh.
I actually really dig this reimagining of the original film. I don't think they did a bad job with it. I don't think the direction they took it was bad at all. It is completely different than any other iteration, and it got a lot of negative preemptive reviews before anybody had seen it. People saying that it wasn't going to be good. People that had heard what the story was or seen the trailers had said, you know, that it wasn't going to live up to the hype that they were giving it or live up to the original.
Yeah, the trailers kind of sucked, though.
They do, and that actually, I think, played in its favor. Because a lot of the time, nowadays, they take all of the good aspects of movies, and that's what a trailer becomes. Or they will... Every time I think of horror movie trailers, I just think about Quarantine.
Oh, the last 5 minutes.
The entire ending of the movie is the trailer. Like,
yeah. Even... Yeah, that sucks.
Even the teaser that they did for it was the end scene. And
the only thing they had.
Yeah, it really was. But I mean, you take that and you make a trailer out of it. And then when you see the movie is lackluster because everything that the trailer hypes the movie up to be turns out to just be what you've already seen. And there's nothing added to it. There's no high notes after that. You've seen all the good. There's nothing to do after that. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And I think putting out a trailer that makes you feel like the movie's going to be bad is almost a benefit to the actual movie.
Yeah, I can maybe agree with that.
Yeah, because
I'm not saying they should do that.
If you actually watch it, it's not bad.
I mean, if you're going to just shit on the movie and say, you know what, I'm not going to see this because the trailer sucked, then it's kind of your own fault. But at the same time, I don't know. I guess they've got to find a middle ground for trailers where it's still enticing and makes you want to see the movie, but not give away all of the good parts of the movie.
Or the whole movie.
Yeah, or the entire ending of a movie. But, yeah, I enjoy this movie. I think it was very well done, very well shot. I really like the direction and the camera work on this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the third time I've seen it.
Oh, yeah? Does it get better every time?
I would say better, but it holds up every time, for sure.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good. This was the second time I have seen this movie, or third. Second or third? I think this was the second time I've watched it and actually been attentive to the movie. I think I put it on going to bed one night, but...
My parents hated this movie.
Yeah, you said that.
My mom said it was weird. And my dad, who is a horror fan, said it was creepy, which it is creepy.
But it really is.
He said it like a negative kind of like, no, it's creepy. I'm like, you can like it and it be creepy, like Creep.
But see, like in the horror genre, then I'm just curious.
Bella, what does he like in the horror genre?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying in the horror genre and you were going to ask a question.
Did ask a question.
So, he likes zombies, like, a lot. Okay. So he's watched all of The Walking Dead. Some of the first ones he watched with me were like Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. I do think he prefers zombie movies. He really liked The Hunt, but I guess that's not horror, but he's watched that like 3 times.
Yeah. It isn't horror. I mean,
it's social horror,
an action, right? Drama,
horror
kind of thing. I mean, I guess people can construe it as horror, but I wouldn't put it in the horror genre at all.
So once you add atmosphere in a movie, he's not a big fan of it, huh?
I think they didn't like the concept of the optical suit.
Which is,
I think they thought it was stupid and impossible, which is not true.
Thing that is being developed. It has been in development for, I want to say, like 10 years.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that is showing their age. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like going back and watching James Bond movies, you know? I watched a lot of Bond films growing up as a kid, and I always, and even a couple Batman things, I always wanted a watch that I could video call people on. And I mean, if you would have asked me when I was a kid, that was completely implausible. There's no fucking way that was ever going to come to reality. And now we're only a couple generations out from it. I mean, I can call people from my watch right now, but it doesn't have camera function yet. But I would guess that by a couple more generations, like I was saying, maybe like the Apple Watch 7 or 8 will probably have cameras. Same with the Samsung watches. The Galaxy Watch will probably have a camera in the next few years.
That's not creepy at all.
It is, and I love it. I can't wait to have a camera on my watch so I can video chat. Especially with what's going on now, because I video chat with my niece since I can't see her anymore. My sister won't bring her around, which...
I mean, I get that, I guess.
...is ridiculous, but it'll be cool to video call people on my watch.
Yeah. Dick Tracy did it.
Dick Tracy is another one that had a video watch.
Was it just like green screen? Not even green screen, CGI onto the, you know what I mean? Like, how did they do that?
They put a little screen on it.
I think it was actually camera manipulation. I think it's a full-on TV set in a couple of them.
They just shrank it down. They made this huge looking watch.
They put it full frame in the camera, which is why you can't, like, it looks zoomed in on a watch. You know what I mean?
Okay, but it's like a trick of the eye. You're just thinking it's a watch.
Yeah. It's an actual TV with a set built on it to make it look like a watch. And then the camera is fixated on the face of what would be the watch, but it's actually fixated on a TV screen.
That's cool.
Yeah, you had to play with the camera a bit back in the old days.
I know that's how they did it in a couple of things, but I don't know if that's how it's done in everything. I mean, not anymore, obviously. I don't even know if that's what they did with the Batman movie when I think it was Val Kilmer takes a video call to his watch.
Wasn't it in his Batmobile, though?
No, they do it in the Batmobile, too, but he's in...
he's got one on.
He's
his
in
too.
He's in his office with somebody. I can't remember which female actress it was though, so I can't remember which character it was.
Nicole Kidman? Was it when he was talking
to
the shrink?
Nicole Kidman, I thought that was Kim Basinger, that was Vicky Vale.
Yeah, she's
it might have been Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, Kidman was the shrink.
Yeah, because she was in with Val Kilmer, you're right. Yes. Michelle Pfeiffer was Catwoman. Yeah. Anyway, Nicole Kidman. Correct. 20 points for Gryffindor, bitches.
I'm a Slytherin, motherfucker.
Whatever, dude. I think I'm a Hufflepuff.
I can see that.
I think you were.
Bella made me take the fucking test. And I got two different answers on two different tests, and I can't remember which was which.
You got Ravenclaw on one of them.
I did. I got Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff. Thank you.
I got Slither on both times I tried.
Yeah, I'm the same as Jeff. I'm sometimes Ravenclaw, sometimes Hufflepuff. I was back and forth on Hufflepuff.
Oh my god, I taught my son how to do that and raise the roof, and it's the most adorable thing.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Raising the roof.
I showed his mom when she picked him up the other day. I said, what do we do when we win? And he goes, ooh, ooh. I was like, yay, daddy wins. Oh, that's cool. All right. So enough adorability factors.
Yeah.
Back to this movie. So touching on why it might be creepy. The plot of this movie is a woman is forced into a relationship with a man that she got into a relationship with, but was abused and wanted to leave, but really couldn't. He's very wealthy. He's very smart, very manipulative. So she's been, I'm guessing, through hell. It kind of starts off at the ass end of their relationship when she finally figures out how to leave him. And she does that by drugging him with diazepam.
Mm-hmm.
And she packs a bag. I don't know why she unleashes the dog and lets it run in this 40-foot tall concrete walled in stops to do that and accidentally sends off a car alarm.
There was a thing on the collar that probably if it walked too far out it would set off an alarm.
Yeah, maybe. But she took the entire collar off. So,
yeah.
Skipping over that.
Which also caused her to set off another alarm.
Right. She sets off the car alarm, waking him up, even though he was drugged. So, mm-hmm. She jumps this gate. It's not a gate. She jumps this concrete wall that's fencing in this. Can we just say that this property is immaculate and beautiful and
yes,
I want it?
Yes, it really is.
It's amazing. I lived in San Francisco, and let me tell you, I never saw one thing close to that.
Well,
not that they don't exist, but I wish I would have gotten to see a property like that, is what I'm saying. But so she calls a ride from her sister, and her sister comes and gets her, and then she goes to stay with a friend who is a police officer and has a daughter.
She's super hot.
Yeah, he's kind of gorgeous.
He's super gorgeous.
I'm just going to say it. I don't even care.
I mean, he really is.
He's definitely been doing his squats. So.
And his voice. Oh, my. Oh, my.
They are living together and having, a hard time. Well, she's having a hard time. He's trying to do his best to take care of her mentally as well as emotionally and give her a safe place to be when her sister arrives and tells her, while being yelled at for showing up at all, that she doesn't need to isolate herself or cut her sister out of her life anymore because her then husband has killed himself. So she goes, talks to the guy's brother, finds out that he is in fact dead and is inheriting money and all of this stuff, may resume her life, come out of hiding, whatever. Unfortunately, when she goes back to the world of the living and starts doing stuff, that's when she starts being kind of haunted, I guess, if you will. By what you find out is her husband still alive wearing an invisibility suit, which is a very fucking real concept and very possible.
Yeah, his name's Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian's a dick. What? I bet you he plays Santa Claus in another movie.
Did they ever say his last name?
They don't. I
bet you it's Griffin because they had to put a wink. I haven't looked it up. You guys can look it up.
I bet you it's Quinn because anybody named Adrian Quinn is wealthy and dickish. I don't know any Adrian Quinns, but that sounds like a rich asshole.
It does.
Although Aidan Quinn is amazing, and I love his work. And I think he's a very nice guy.
Yeah. Just a few letter changes. It is. Is it?
I think it is. Yeah, Adrian Griffin.
Wow. What are the odds of that?
Why was it again that you said it had to be Griffin?
Because that's the last name of most of the people from the original movies.
Oh.
Jack Griffin, and then his aunt or grandkid or something else also becomes the Invisible Man, and then somebody else with the last name Griffin becomes the Invisible Agent. Because
yeah,
Universal, they like the Griffins.
Gryffindor. All right, so, yeah, let's. I guess that's the plot breakdown without getting into all the details. Let's do the rest of what happens in the movie with some details. So, when she starts being haunted, you start noticing little things. Like, she's cooking breakfast one morning after celebrating her inheritance from the dead husband and setting up a bank account for her police officer friend's daughter so that she can go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when she's cooking breakfast, he asks the police officer, asks her to wake up the daughter, Cindy, so that she can get ready for school because she might have overdone it in excitement and might not be up and getting prepared for the day. When she leaves the kitchen, you notice a kitchen knife get pulled off the counter. And then you notice the burner on the stove get turned up all the way, which causes the food to burst into flames.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, there is... You hear some footsteps and stuff around the house. You don't really notice it unless you have really good surround sound or if you have, say, high-end headset.
Yeah.
And no background noise. Mm-hmm. But they are there. It's very hard to actually notice unless you're really trying to pay attention for it, which I kind of was this time around. I was also staring off into backgrounds instead of looking at characters, trying to notice if drapes moved or if carpeting was fraying or being depressed or anything of the such. There isn't anything that I noticed, not to say that it's not there. But another night, she hears some of these sounds and gets out of bed, and she starts walking through the house. And when she goes to the kitchen investigating the noises, you hear the front door open, and then when the camera angle changes, you actually see that the front door is open behind her. And then she goes outside for God knows what reason. That's like a fucking horror movie, suspense movie no-no. You never walk outside unless your name is Sydney. Like, if you're played by Neve Campbell, it's okay. No matter how much she got tormented in the Scream movies, she always walked outside. She always goes through the door. She investigates everything. Anyway, she's outside standing, and it's cold, so you can see her breath. And I really liked it the first time I saw it, and it's still pretty cool. I was, like, in anticipation of seeing the sequence again, where she's standing there and breathing, and then you see the breath behind her.
Yeah.
From so nothing. I was like, oh shit, he is there. And I don't know. It's just one of those little things that kind of gets you.
Yeah.
And then it just gets worse from there. Like, he really starts messing with her. He pulls the sheets off of her while she's in bed, takes pictures of her in bed. And then she grabs another blanket and she's pulling it to the bed, and he stands on it so that she can't pull it any further. And then he starts walking towards her, and then she tugs it out from underneath him, and you hear him thud. There's a lot of really great sequences and just I don't know how they did it with the guy in a green suit and then they edit him out, or if it's all just CGI'd in. But whatever they did, it really works and it's totally well done. Like, nothing looks fake, which is really great. I mean, aside from, you know, the dude being invisible. But again, totally possible. And then the worst thing happens. Well, I can't even say that because it's not the worst thing. One of the worst things happens. She goes to visit her sister, who she intends to talk to and confide in. And she's shut out for having emailed her a nasty email telling her that she was being suffocating and she had wished that she was dead instead of Adrian and all this stuff. And when she goes home to read the email, because she never sent it, had no idea what was written in it, she kind of breaks down crying. And then the police officer's daughter, Sydney, goes in to comfort her. And they both laugh and they're getting up to walk out of the room when Sydney gets hit in the face. And then the police officer comes in, tells her that she doesn't need to be there anymore, takes the daughter, says he's going to bring her somewhere safe and that she's his top priority.
Mm-hmm.
And
she has extendo arms across the room.
Yeah, when her face was down, the daughter's, I mean, she was looking towards the door when she got hit. So it's not unbelievable that she wouldn't have seen who hit her. Her hair comes around the sides of her face.
Well, yeah,
so
she wasn't going to see who hit her anyway.
Right. But I mean, we can, because unfortunately for us, the camera is pointed at, God, what's her name?
Elizabeth Moss.
Cecilia. Right? Yes, Cecilia, or C, as they call her in that household. The camera is more focused on her.
Yeah.
When
her 3 feet away from the daughter getting punched in the face.
She is a good 3 feet away, yeah. I mean, I think my arm is 3 feet long.
I think what she did was she ran up, punched in the face, and then ran back before she saw.
Yeah, for shizzle. But so they leave, and then C completely is just aware that it's him. She, at this point, knows without a doubt. I mean, she knew when the whole blanket incident happened and there were footprints on it, because she starts telling everybody that he's invisible and there. But everybody makes her feel like she's just crazy. But at this point, she knows damn well that she's not crazy and that it's really him. So she starts pouring coffee grounds all over the floor of her bedroom, backs herself against a wall with a kitchen knife, and starts waiting for him and asking him what the fuck his problem is and why he picked her and why he's torturing her when he's so wealthy and could have anybody that he wants. But instead of just moving on with his life, he's completely obsessed in being a prick, which sadly enough happens a lot, because I don't know. I don't understand the mentality behind the whole obsessive, manipulative, I'm gonna fuck with you because you don't want me mentality. I don't get it. Like, move on. It's cool. It's a thing. You can do it. But I guess some people don't think they can. I don't know. I'll never wrap my head around that. But so then she decides, hey, I got an idea. I'm gonna call this fucker. And I don't know why nobody else had tried this yet. You would think if the guy was actually dead, his cell phone would be completely shut off. But instead, it rings and goes to his voicemail.
Yeah.
She's in the attic.
Yes, good camera panning. We see the camera adjust from the phone to the attic where we hear the vibrating of the phone on the floor. So, again, much like the front door, she's like, hey,
I'm gonna go
check this shit out. She gets the nice ladder that she bought James. I think his name was James, right? Yes, it was. The police officer. And she goes into the attic. She finds the cell phone. She finds the kitchen knife that was taken. And I totally glossed over the fact that her schematics, she's an architect, I think, or a designer. I'm not sure which. She has blueprints laid out. She could be either, I guess. But she had a whole booklet for a job interview that went missing. And then they're up in the attic as well. And then, again, with the surround sound or a nice headset, you can hear the rungs of the ladder as if somebody's walking up it. And she gets a text message that says, surprise.
Yeah.
So she goes over to the... I don't know what it is. It's not a door. It's not a hatch. It's nothing. It's just a piece of ceiling that slid into an opening. I have one in my house as well that goes up to the attic.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Me neither, you know? It's
opening.
Yeah, the opening. Thank you. That's a good word. Fuck. So she goes to the opening that went to the attic, and she stares down it, and again has a smart idea. Well, way smarter than the actual, you know, ideas I mocked as smart. She throws paint down the opening, splashing his invisibility suit. Yeah. So that's the first time we actually get to see it or him while she's being tormented. And it's a really cool visual. I actually really liked that, and I still liked it this time watching it.
Yep.
Although the first time I was like, what the fuck is that, a golf ball? Because the camera indentations on the suit give it the same similar ridges as
a
golf ball.
Home.
Yeah, exactly. It's again a great visual. I think the visuals in this movie are really well done, as well as the camera play, camera angles, the cinematography. As Sid had said in the chat when we were talking about it before this, it's very well shot.
Yeah.
And I mean, even some of like the rig movements when the camera rolls around a room, it's kind of unique. I don't know a lot of movies that do those kind of camera panning moves where it starts in one corner of the room and then rotates to another corner of the room so fluidly.
Because he's there.
Yeah, he is. They do some of them in like the Matrix and stuff like that, action movies, but I don't really see a lot of it in suspense movies or horror movies.
Well, I think the idea of that is that there is somebody else in the room, so they're panning towards the person that, or tilting towards the person.
Well, I don't know
that
there actually is, but she thinks there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is she crazy, or is there someone in the room?
Either way, I like that they utilized those kind of movements. It adds to the ambience and tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays really well with the overall tone and feeling of the movie. I think it was a very smart choice by whoever came up with that. I don't know if it was storyboarded or if they were just like, hey, you know, it'd be totally badass. Either way, however it came to be, it works really well.
Yeah.
And then they totally beat each other's ass all over the fucking house. And it's an awesome sequence. That was one of my favorite, I don't know, like battles in the movie. There's a couple fights in the movie and a couple scenes that were really awesome. But this fight through the kitchen and the living room and the dining room, I really liked how it was shot, and I liked how intense it feels. Like, the idea of being stalked at all is really unsettling and unnerving. But the idea of being stalked by somebody that you can't see and then watching it happen, like watching somebody be attacked by somebody wearing an invisibility suit, it could either look really cheesy or over the top or unbelievable. And some of the parts look less than believable. Like when she's trying to bat at his arms. But if you sit there and think, you know, she can't see him, you kind of realize that she doesn't know what to swing at. So right. It keeps it in the realm of belief rather than disbelieving what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And when he picks her up clean off the floor and pushes her into the wall, when he throws her across the table, when he drags her across the room by her hair, all of it is really intense, for lack of a better description.
Yeah, I'll agree. That's probably my favorite scene, just because I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that with somebody in a green suit. I'm guessing that it's a blend of that and
some CGI.
Some After Effects, yeah.
Probably a lot of wire work. They probably drag her around on the wires.
Maybe. I mean, that's totally possible, but green suit work is, it's come a long way. They do a lot of shit with green suits in movies that I don't even believe. And blue suits, when I watch stuff, and some of it blows my mind. Like people on all fours with somebody else standing on their back, and then they just completely remove that guy in the green suit. I've seen some of that in stuff, or people holding, like, have you seen the Happy Time Murders?
Yeah.
That's all people in green suits with the puppets.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, none of, they're completely standing up moving the puppets instead of them being off screen or below the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's just literally some dude in a green suit or some woman in a green suit standing upright with the puppet. And I was really surprised by that, because a lot of puppet work is done off camera.
That was a movie I wish I liked more.
I really liked the Happy Time Murders, and I thought I wasn't going to. But I'm sure a lot of people didn't care for it as much as I enjoyed it.
Well, that's really cool. I just wish it was, I wish they played it more serious, because I think that would make it a lot more funny in my head.
I don't know. I guess I would like to see it in the vein of seriousness versus as comedic and off the wall as it was.
Well, I mean, it'd still be comedic and off the wall, but the people
I agree with that.
Serious, because all they have is a bunch of comedians trying to ad lib and be funny and talk shit to each other, and then they have the puppets. It should have been serious actors and crap like that. But like Doctor Strangelove. That's how I would watch it. And in black and white too. It'd be great.
God, get out of here. None of what you just said is appealing to me. The serious factor is, but like Doctor Strange loving it in black and white. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. He's saying really funny stuff, but like in a completely serious
Serious. Yeah.
And have it black and white, like an old film noir or something. It would have been great.
I don't know. And a lot of that shit, believe it or not, was scripted. Like almost 100% of that movie is as is. There were like, I think in the bonus features, they do some of the scenes that were riffing, and they're really, I mean, I'm not saying that all of the scenes that they show you in the gag reels or in the blooper reels are the only scenes that they ad-libbed, but there weren't as many as I expected. And if you see some of the script pages for the movie, a lot of that ridiculous shit and ribbing is actually in there, which surprised me because a lot of it comes off as off-the-cuff remarks.
Yeah, I would have preferred it to be, like, funny.
I agree that I think if it had a serious tone to it, if the characters had a serious tone to them and serious delivery versus the complete comical tone to it, I think the movie would have come across differently and it might actually... I don't know. It might have been... I don't want to say better, but it would have definitely come across as an entirely different film.
Yeah, I would have liked it more. But I mean, that's just me. But we're not talking about Happy Timber.
No, we're talking about Green Suit Guys and how they filmed this, because it really does look completely real.
I did like this movie, and like, I had to make myself be objective towards it, which I do that with every movie. At least I try to. But I don't... This is what Universal decided to try to do with their Universal Monsters that they failed the first time, or the third, fourth time, and they try to reboot it.
I think they... I think they stopped for, like, I want to say 30 years.
Well, yeah, but they've tried to do the Dark Universe, and after The Mummy, it didn't work. They decided to give this to...
Which mummy?
The one with Tom Cruise.
I don't think that's a Universal mummy.
Yes, it is. That was the start of the Dark Universe.
Is it really? Because that has stuff from the Brendan Fraser mummy movies in it, and it's got stuff from other monster movies that aren't Universal.
Like Jekyll and Hyde?
Yes, it has Jekyll and Hyde in it.
No, it was the start of the Dark Universe. That failed so terribly that because they had a bunch of things lined up. Invisible Man was supposed to star Johnny Depp, I think.
I don't think that would have worked.
No, me either.
No, but I'm just saying
what the plan was. I'm glad Johnny Depp was not in this movie. I love Johnny Depp, but I don't think it would have been as good.
Well, it wouldn't have been this movie. It would have been more of a... off of the original.
Typical, yeah. I think this movie works because it's not a reboot of the original canon.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, like after their failed Dark Universe thing, what's something that most people care about now is actual adaptations of books. They didn't care before. I would like to see the closest adaptation of The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells or Bram Stoker's Dracula that's actually like how the book explains. And they could do that. And
I don't want to see them do Bram Stoker's Dracula again. I'm not in the majority, and my opinion's not very popular on it, but I don't like what they just did to it on Netflix. Netflix show, but I don't like where they went with it.
I enjoyed the first episode. That's it.
So did I. I liked finding out because I didn't read anything about it. I didn't look into it. I heard they were making a Dracula show. I was like, sweet, I like Dracula. So I watched it, and when I realized, I think halfway through episode one, that it was Bram Stoker's, I was like, oh, fuck, sweet. And then I lost that feeling almost immediately after I said it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the original Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman and Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder.
That's not even close to the book.
I know it's not. That's why I said I did like it, because regardless of the fact that it is a complete rewrite of the original, it still made me happy, I guess I could say. It's closer to Dead and Loving It than it is closer to Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Well, Dead and Loving It was after.
I know, it's a spoof on it, but I'm saying, like, yeah.
I'm just saying, if you were a company and you had all these things, and people mostly care about adaptations now, you could crank out true adaptations of these stories that you haven't put out before, and you have the bookworms going and go, oh crap, that's really close to the book. I love that. And then you have the new horror fans that are, it's a fucking vampire.
I don't disagree. I think fans are really looking for the book adaptations, whether they are loosely done or otherwise. Like It, I liked the new It. It's, I don't want to say nothing like the books, because there are maybe four or five things taken directly from the book in each movie. But when you're talking about a fucking 1,000-page book, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
And, God, what's the other one? Dr. Sleep. Dr. Sleep was forced to be reimagined to fit what Kubrick did to The Shining.
Well, that was a director's choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a smart director's choice, though, because the things that Kubrick changed from The Shining, like
everything,
the hotel being blown up, and, you know, yes, pretty much everything. He brought it back and made it work well. I don't want to say perfectly, but I really liked Dr. Sleep. I think he did a really great job of involving Kubrick's work and Stephen King's work and making it all flow and feel solid.
He did do a good bridging stuff.
Especially his reshoots of the Kubrick shit from The Shining.
Yeah, that looked pretty good.
Those fucking shot-for-shot redos were amazing to me. Like, they had to rebuild those sets completely, and they almost look identical.
They do look good.
I challenge people to fucking pick out something that's not right that isn't one of the actors, because obviously it's not the same kid playing young Danny.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress on the fucking ranting about other people's good works.
So this is not based off of H.G. Wells at all. It's just taking the name, The Invisible Man.
Exactly. Yeah, there's nothing about, well, maybe the Griffin last name, like you pointed out. Yeah. But other than that, there's nothing about this that's in any other Invisible Man book, movie. If anybody even wrote a short story in their own notebook at home that wasn't this guy, it's not like that. But so now that we've trailed off on other stuff, I will jump ahead to one of the most gripping scenes and, like, heart-wrenching moments in the entire movie for me. Every time I watch it, like, the first time I saw it, I actually messaged Bella because I was like, holy shit. And C goes to dinner with her sister after finding the invisible suit in Adrian's house. She goes to Adrian's house.
Her sister in this scene did such a good job. It was just like super bitchy. I don't know. I thought she did a really good job.
I think she was pretty great in every scene. She is kind of a bitch in this one, though, and rightfully so. I mean, she had been shut out and cut off and fucking the last thing she had heard was an email saying, "You're suffocating me and I wish you were dead." So the fact that she even showed up was, you know, a gift to her sister. Mm-hmm. But so they're sitting there having dinner, and you notice her glance over to the left a couple times. And it's almost as if she sees something, but isn't sure she's seeing something. And then you notice her staring to the left, and the camera goes back to see Cecilia. And you can just see the knife floating next to her head.
Mm-hmm.
And then it swipes across her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And gets put into Cecilia's hand. Now, this is one of the lesser good edits in the movie. The knife kind of does this little boomerang thing and then jumps into the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's really focusing on it will notice it. I noticed it both times, and
I didn't.
It's kind of unfortunate, but...
And then one of the ladies just happens to look right after it boomerangs into her fucking hand. This is a crowded restaurant.
She's sitting there with a knife being held up.
It is a crowded restaurant, yeah.
And, yes, it is a crowded restaurant. And, yeah, I've been in plenty of them, and I've watched people get punched in the face and nobody saw anything, so...
You saw it?
No.
You just said you watched it?
He saw the after effects, okay? Come
yeah,
on.
I actually worked there, so, I mean, I saw it on camera. I didn't personally witness it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. There must have been cameras.
Right? And that was what I was thinking this time watching it. Like, why are they fucking arresting her right now?
Well, because she boomeranged a knife in her sister's throat.
When they could just watch the camera and see this knife float across her throat. But I digress. She goes to an institution after this. She... I don't know why you would hold the knife. Like, I know it was put into her hand, but...
Why'd she even open her hand? Why'd she go, like, hand me the knife?
Take your invisible ass and put that knife in my hand. I would have totally fucking dropped it immediately. Either way, it wasn't going to help her situation since nobody cared to watch the cameras.
Yeah, nobody saw because crowded restaurant and they just happened to see... Look, whenever it did happen... No one sees a flowing knife, or at least it fly into her hand. I want some, like, hillbilly go, I seen it. It boomeranged.
I seen it on the TV.
I seen it with my eyes. She threw the knife and went through her throat, and then she caught it.
Used to be ruthless. I seen you pull somebody's jawbone off. I seen it. Pineapple Express, man. I love that scene. So, anyway... She's in the asylum now. It's actually a prison, but an asylum, I guess. I don't know. Maybe a kind of thing.
It has a shower.
Yeah, all prisons have showers. So do psychiatric facilities.
Nice, that was a nice room.
Not private ones.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, I guess. But she does have money. I've never seen a rich person's
jail.
She's
in prison, though. Isn't it like a psychiatric institute more so than anything?
You think
I think
they wouldn't let
prison,
you around
said,
water.
But yeah.
Yeah.
You try to drown yourself.
Well, you can't in a stand-up shower. There's no trough.
Somehow she had a pen.
Yeah.
She took that out of the guy's...
His
briefcase when thing? She threw the shit off the thing. I was wondering that last time I watched it too. And this time I actually caught it. She reaches over and
so
grabs
slimy.
It.
His brother is so slimy.
Dude, such a tool. But
he did such a good job of being slimy.
Well, you could do is you could put stuff into the drain and then lay there and then drown yourself.
Oh my
I
god!
I don't.
You're right.
Think you could?
A couple inches of water.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to drown yourself,
there isn't a trough. It's a floor with a drain in it.
Yeah.
So
cover the drain.
The water would just pool out across the floor is what I'm saying. There's no trough to hold the water in.
You could still put your face
on it. Yeah, you could
put
your face right up to the spigot, too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, psychiatric places probably wouldn't let you around anything that had the possibility of... If you're smart enough, you could drown yourself on a faucet.
Yeah.
Just saying. And And if you're super careful,
you could also beat your head against a wall and kill yourself. Yeah, but the walls weren't padded.
I think you'd pass out before you actually died from that.
Yeah.
True. True.
Well, this took a fun
Yeah, so aside from the many ways that you could kill yourself when you're locked up in jail, she knows
Epstein didn't kill that himself.
Adrian is there. Epstein did not fucking kill himself. Next time on Loonsville, Epstein did not kill himself. And then we're going to do Night of the Demons. Yeah. So she knows he's there. We've already kind of established that she steals a pen from the slimy lawyer who comes in and admits that his brother is still alive. We, prior to this, found out that she's pregnant. So now he doesn't want to kill her or torture her anymore. He wants to take her back and have the baby and be a family. And she's just like, you know what? Fuck you, greaseballs. I don't like either of you.
Which you kind of knew that was going to happen. Like, you knew, because they mentioned the pregnancy early on, you know, like.
She mentions that he wanted her to get pregnant and that she was secretly taking birth control. Yes, they foreshadowed the piss out of the pregnancy.
Yeah, they it's a winky.
Yeah, it was a slight nod, but I mean, there was a couple foreshadows. But, yeah, so she's totally pregnant. Congratulations! Yay! You're insane and having a baby.
She's not insane.
I know.
Well, I mean, he threw her around enough. I mean, you think...
Dude, she gets kicked in the stomach so many fucking times. It's a good thing that she's early term.
I mean, we don't really know.
So, yeah. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So she's back in her room now with the pen and...
In the shower.
She puts... The pen hidden in the shower, gets into the shower, turns on the water, takes the pen and says, you're never going to get the baby. You're never going to get me. Stabs herself in the wrist, drags it down her wrist.
And then
he grabs her arm and she says, there you are, and starts stabbing the shit out of him in the fucking shoulder. And I loved that. I loved how she just relentlessly goes at it. Like, no pause. Just fuck yeah, I'm going to get you. Like, have you ever seen a Child's Play movie? She was stabbing that motherfucker like Chucky. Loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, there's nothing better than a revenge stabbing in a movie.
So then the one of the guards comes in, right? And he says, get back in bed.
Yeah.
Then she's like, look.
She's just staring over in the corner and he looks over and there's just this predator fucking flashing invisible suit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And he goes for the taser. Why did he go for the taser?
I don't know.
Well, wouldn't the taser fuck up the cameras?
Fucking up the cameras, dude. If I see an invisible flashing black suit, I'm shooting that shit.
I don't know that I would have thought of that, actually. Like, oh, let me electrocute him with this taser.
Yeah, no, not in that moment. I'm not going straight to that place. I'm going to shoot whatever the fuck that is. Like, that, I would have immediately been all about terminate that. I've never seen anything like that. Well,
did he have
like
a real
that.
Gun? Did he have an actual gun?
I don't know if he did. I didn't notice if that particular...
Yes, he does. If you go back and look at the scene again, he's got a holster right in front of the taser holster. But also, all of the rest of the guards that we see immediately after that when she breaks out of the room are all armed.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has a gun.
I'm just wondering if this particular one had one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw a gun and a holster right in front of the taser. Both times I saw this.
All right, well, I'll take your word for it. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't have one, it makes sense to grab the taser.
It would make sense if he didn't have a gun. I will agree with that.
Or you saw a predator and knew the gun wasn't going to work and decided to tase it.
Yeah, because tasing that big bitch would fucking work. I bet you Arnold wished he had that instead of some mud. Oh my god. Come on, do it! I'm right here! So, after
Do it now!
You can't see.
Your Arnold is so good. It was so cute. Do it again.
No. One time only. Only fans. Oh, you'll get my Arnold impersonation.
Oh my god, I literally just said to myself, I wish that was recorded. And you know what?
It is.
And I'm going to go back and listen to that time.
Oh, no.
Right, we're going to edit that out.
Don't you dare edit that out.
No, so, we'll copy it so we could paste it everywhere.
So this hallway scene is one of my other favorite scene sequences. The house fight, and then this where he's in the hallway. You see his suit flashing from invisible to visible. And he's just kicking the crap out of all these guards. I don't know why he shot some of them, but not others. Like, I don't know if he killed the one he shoots as he's leaving, but he knocks all of them out cold. He shoots one through the kneecap. He takes a gun, points it at one of their heads and says, bang, but doesn't shoot. And then walking away, he fires it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we never see that guard again. Like, we don't see his body on the ground or anything. So I don't know if he killed him or if he just wounded him.
Well, did he kill the guard in the rain?
No, he shot it in the shoulder, and then he left.
So this guy saw the suit, right? The blinking suit. And the 20 other cops that are looking for her from escaping, they didn't get any relay whenever, like, hey, no, she's found the truth.
Yeah, nobody had the time to relay it because they were getting their asses beat. But the guys in the front that do go out looking for her, I would agree that that's a little odd.
Well, that's because... what I was talking about. I'm not talking about inside.
Because they watched the fucking front door open itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just guessing that all of those cameras and that suit have some wiring in it, if not a lot.
No.
And I doubt that did not set off the metal detector. You know what I mean? I mean, her gun sets off the metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that the suit would have had to.
So would you... Would you... if you were to guess, do you think if you looked at it through like a heat sensor, you'd be able to see him?
I
don't think so.
That's a good question. I don't know if it's a thermal suit. You might be able to.
Well, the cameras put off heat. They're electrical.
Oh, and they're definitely not going to mask the heat underneath them, right?
It might. I don't know. It depends on if it's a thermal suppression casing on the cameras.
Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, right? So this is my reasoning for that, or my validation for my theory on that. If you are to scan for heat on a circuit, the thermal casing on wiring that goes over the copper suppresses the heat that is produced by that copper wiring. And you can't see the heat coming from that.
Yeah, but his suit was damaged.
The suit was damaged in a way that the cameras weren't functioning properly, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the casing on anything would be damaged. Like, maybe those little puncture holes would put off heat. I don't know. But also, like, why would they have thermal sensors?
I don't know. I was just curious.
Anyway, right?
Because we're talking about Predator.
Yeah. Because if the Predator's there, he's going to see this guy. I just went back and I put it on that scene, and the security guard in the room that pulls the taser definitely has a firearm in front of that taser. He is completely armed with a gun, so I totally would have pulled that gun, not the taser.
Well, he's also trained to use the taser non-lethal first.
Not against a motherfucking invisible man.
You don't know.
Divided by his training.
If he just sees like a blinking light, you don't know what the fuck it is. Looks like a man. It's the Predator.
Right. I mean, I've seen Predator. I know everybody has seen Predator. If I see an invisible dude popping out, first of all, I'm going to need that suit. And second of all, I'm going to have to shoot you. Yeah. Actually, I don't think I would shoot them because I want that suit, so I'd want to keep it intact.
Yeah, so you tase them, right?
No, because that would fry the circuits.
Maybe. I mean, what if...
What if it's made out of rubber? Good question.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like anything fries the circuits or anything. Not even a pin to the side or anything, so it doesn't really fuck up the suit. It's waterproof, too, so...
Yes, it totally is. So, as he leaves the hospital, we're in the parking lot. We were just talking about, you know, him being outside. It's raining. She's got gun. He's got nothing. She's looking around, hoping to shoot this fucker.
Mm-hmm.
He is... I don't know. I don't know whether I'd call it smart or dumb, but he opens the hatch on an SUV and he's standing under it so that the rain doesn't show where he is. And as soon as she's there with the gun pointed around, he grabs her, pushes her up against an ambulance, and he informs her that now that she's been a bitch, he's going to have to hurt her in the only way he feels comfortable, because he doesn't want to actually hurt her now that he knows that she is pregnant with his child.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells her that he's going to go and kill Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not cool. So she gets a gun off the ground after he shoots one of the guards and then leaves. She chases him down, tries to shoot him through the SUV that he's taken. And another SUV crashes as that one swerves towards it.
Well, he even opens the door for her so she could get into the parking lot. He's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, super sweet. I also like how that gate into the parking lot isn't locked.
Yeah, he just opens it and holds it open for her, but for some reason...
It's cool, though. Whatevs. So then she gets in this SUV after the guy gets out.
Mm-hmm. And still no one believes her.
Well, nobody says that they don't believe her because she doesn't go back to prison after this. Well, obviously, she's free.
Well, like, the one guard saw the guy. He's laying there. Those other guards are looking for her. Do you think?
Yeah, but that's before she gets out to the SUV.
Oh, yeah. But, like, they're still looking for her.
Who knows? They could still be looking for her to this day.
Right.
So, she calls James, the detective friend, and lets him know that Adrian's going after his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And good ups to James for not being like this crazy bitch and actually driving straight home to check.
Well, was he checking now, because he believed that Adrian was coming for her, or because he thought that the crazy bitch was coming to his house?
We don't know, but I'm going to go with because he thought the crazy bitch was going to his house. So before he actually gets there, we got another pretty great scene. And I realized something this time watching it that I think is a pretty solid validation to a theory I had the first time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
She gets spooked and wakes up in bed, and she pepper sprays the air, and the invisible man falls over into her desk, and she runs out of the room, and then she gets hit in the chest and flies backwards towards the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that there were two people there the first time I had saw it.
Well,
and we end up having James come in and find his daughter being strangled on the floor, and then he gets his ass kicked. I mean, not hard to do when somebody's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are, how big you are, or how well-trained you are in physical altercations.
Yeah, but you know, if he was blind, he'd be able to do it.
Probably. Or drunk. Just saying. So, he gets hurt pretty bad. And then Cecilia comes in with a fire extinguisher, tells Sydney to duck. She unloads the fire extinguisher down the hallway. It leaves white residue all over the chest of the invisible suit, where she puts very nicely placed bullets.
Mm-hmm.
All across his chest.
It's a pretty good shot.
It was a decent shot. I mean, she got two shoulder shots and two lung shots. So
yeah, but she's shooting patches, not... That's not her missing. That's her aiming.
Yeah.
She's shooting patches. It's a pretty good shot.
She was a good shot. I'm not saying she's not. I think it was a very decent shot. I mean, I would have went center mass, but, you know, whatever. Good ups. The first time she tried to shoot him, she shot a fucking wall. The second time, she shot a window. So this time, I mean, at least she hit the guy.
Yeah, not right between the eyes, this time.
Shit. Stage fright. Right between the eyes, Alice. So now we've got the big reveal, and we find out that the Invisible Man is, in fact, the spineless piece of shit brother that nobody liked. He was a super big slime bag. Like, he was kind of a dick. And it was awesome. Like, seeing that it was the brother, I was like, oh, shit, I did not fucking expect that. And then, immediately after that, it cuts to SWAT raiding Adrian's house, where they find Adrian tied up in a boarded up room of, I'm guessing, the basement or the garage, something like that.
It was a sex room.
Yeah, it was totally his Gray's room. Fucking 50 Shades of Adrian. So
50 Shades of Griffin.
When you said Gray's, I heard like what cows do to grass.
Wow.
Gray's.
Oh my god, dude. 50 Shades of Gray's, the cow porn.
No, I thought it was some term that I didn't know, like bareback, you know, like some weird name used for people's sex rooms.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. That's funny. It's gonna be a term now. I'm making it. It happened.
You're gonna build yourself a Gray's
room. Yeah, I'm gonna have a Gray's room. It's got AstroTurf in it, and I make fucking bitches get on all fours and eat it.
Shag carpet.
It's awesome. Carpet. Yeah, shag carpet to shag on. So, my theory that I had the original viewing, and then full circle this time, when they find Adrian in this room, his eyes are all irritated and red. And I'm pretty sure I should look and check again. I'm pretty sure that he has injuries on his left shoulder, which is where the guy is stabbed in the the prison.
Yes.
Or institution or wherever she is.
Yeah.
But I am fairly certain, almost 100% sure. I mean, I wouldn't be able to get confirmation without speaking to the director or writers of the movie, mm-hmm. that both brothers were in that house.
Well, I think both brothers were in the house. But he would have to... he also invented teleportation, huh? He's invisible and he could teleport.
I don't know why you would say that.
It didn't take him that long to get home, and he's pretty far away. They show you how far away when she gets a ride there.
It is also completely dark out when the daughter is attacked, and sunrise when they raid the house.
So after his brother is shot, who ties him up?
Him. He's got his hands are zip tied. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, I guess.
Isn't it disappointing?
Because I still think what I think. Fucking teleported.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go with that. He teleported back to that house, zip-tied his hands, squatted.
Or he was there the entire time.
Oh, Corona.
Did you sneeze and say Corona?
Yes, I did. I don't think he was there the whole time. I really do think that they were both there, because otherwise it puts a plot hole in how he got pepper sprayed in the bedroom, fell over, and then the girl got hit from the front in the hallway and knocked back towards the bedroom. I don't think they did that on accident. I
don't either.
But so that brings us to the end of The Invisible Man.
Clap, 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 clap.
And now we just have the regular man. we have Adrian getting a phone call from Cecilia, who decides to go over there with the intention of having him incriminate himself on audio. James is out in his sedan. No, that's not her plan. That is just the plan, quote, quote. That's what James believes is going on. I know it's Cecilia that went there with the intention to do exactly what happens. So they're sitting down for a dinner. She's trying to get him. Although, I don't know, maybe if James, you know, had sat there recording and Cecilia had gotten Adrian to admit the shit he did rather than lie about it, maybe she would have let him go to prison.
Yeah.
But we'll never know because instead he lies about it. So she goes to the bathroom and then we get another awesome sequence of throat slitting invisibility where she, yeah, but no boomerang this time. She forces Adrian to slit his own throat. And it's awesome vengeance for what he did to her sister.
And then she leaves with the suit, so the sequel is going to be the Invisible Woman.
With the suit and the dog, man. Good ups on her for taking the dog. And you know what? How did nobody know that this fucking guy was still alive? The dog was there the whole time. All of the furniture got tarped. Nobody went there to assess the property.
Yeah, I felt the same thing. Why is the dog still there?
You know, like, somebody's been feeding this fucking dog. That could have been.
Well, just take the dog.
You
home.
Want that fucking dog?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. His name is Zeus, and he's beautiful. A Doberman. I'm like, yeah.
I know. It didn't dog. Listen with his shit.
I don't. I mean, I wouldn't choose to have a Doberman, but you know, if there's a Doberman that's living alone in a beautiful house in San Francisco,
so you're gonna go move into the house and live with the dog?
I would totally move into that house.
Yeah.
First dibs.
Actually, I don't know. It seems like it's in a tsunami zone.
Mm.
It's right on the water.
Mm.
It's absolutely in a tsunami zone.
Ooh.
And then they put a chip in the back of his neck and Adrian's back. Dun dun dun.
Fuck.
And then it's invisible. Oh. Upgrade, man.
Yeah.
Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Which was a really good movie.
Upgrade was a really good movie. I'm not going to fucking deny that. We should watch that sometime.
I wanted to see you this should. Because he did Upgrade and the trailers made me not want to see this.
Wait, what? Adrian is also in Upgrade?
That's going to be the sequel. They're going to put the chip in his neck and Invisible Woman's going to have to fight Stem.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Stem got a body in Upgrade.
Well, it's going to need a new one.
Spoilers.
Oh, shit, right. My bad. Wait, you don't know who Stem is.
Oh, I mean, all I have to do is watch the movie and hear someone say, yo, Stem, and then I know.
Yeah, true story. At least he's not a quadriplegic. Okay, so
tight.
Foreshadowing.
His neck. He can talk. He's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So that is the entire movie walkthrough.
It was so good.
So good. I really fucking enjoy this movie.
It was okay.
Let's rate it.
I want to know less ratings and more personal opinions. I mean, I just did the entire rundown of the movie and it took a while. So what were...
I think it was longer than the movie.
No, the movie is 2 hours and what?
Okay. 2 hours
4 minutes.
And 15 minutes, I think. 2 hours and 4 minutes, yeah. Damn. What were some of your guys's... Well, I know Bella said her favorite scenes while I was talking about it.
Yes.
But if you would like to recap, what were your favorite things about this movie?
my favorite things. Elizabeth Moss and Hot James, the sister. I like the characters. I thought were really well done. I thought that the idea behind the suit was well done. All of the fight sequences, all of the sequences where he was invisible, it's kind of like you're looking for the CGI because it was so well done.
Yeah.
You wanted it to look worse and it didn't. So,
yeah.
I
agree with that because the second, third times I was watching it, I was looking for inconsistencies in the CGI.
Yeah. It looked great. I have zero complaints. I thought it was a really good movie.
What is your favorite scene?
My favorite, I know you scene said is when you he's had a flipping couple. Her around in the kitchen. You
yeah.
know, she's hitting him with plates, and that whole sequence is my favorite.
I do like that. Cannibal, what about you, man?
The beginning credits were kind of cool looking.
Blumhouse didn't make you groan? Oh, God.
You know what's funny about that? I both times I've seen this movie have said during those credits, maybe even all three, if I've seen it three times, I was like, this is totally unnecessary.
I thought it looked cool with the water splashing off of it.
Very atmospheric.
It does, but is that honestly your favorite scene in the movie?
I thought it was.
Oh, no.
That's so fucked up. If you go back to the chat we had during the movie, you were like, oh, I really liked that paint can scene. But
your favorite is the opening
on the podcast, though. You're just going to leave that, you know, when the water splashes the words. I like that.
He has a reputation to maintain.
Oh, I said I liked the scene in this, too. I did not say I didn't like it.
But you didn't like it as much
but
as the
you're not
going to
list it as your favorite scene, though, is what I'm saying.
I think that when I first saw the opening credits, I was like, that's pretty cool.
All right, fair enough. I'll let you have it. Yeah, I think mine is a toss-up. I really like the first fight sequence in the kitchen as well. I do like the restaurant scene.
Yeah,
that's the boomerang knife.
That one really, yeah, that really shocked me. Like the first time I saw it, my jaw dropped. I was like, what the fuck? Because it took me a second when the camera went back to Elizabeth Moss or Cecilia to notice the knife hovering there. Like, it shouldn't have. I felt kind of stupid. But by the time I realized the knife, it's almost perfect timing. As soon as you realize it there, it swings across the fucking table and cuts Emily's throat. And I thought that was really well done, aside from the little glitch that I noticed both times I've seen it.
I still don't like, I mean, it's a cool scene. I don't like how it boomerangs around and then for some reason she holds on to it.
Yeah. Why'd you close your hand around it?
Or if he's that close.
The fact that she grabs the knife. I don't know, you know, maybe in shock, but it's hard to rationalize why she grabbed
that knife. She does a lot of things in shock that is more rational than that.
Yeah, fair enough. I do not disagree. All in all, though, I really do think the movie was very well written, shot. The sounds, I like the audio. I really do. I like the little hidden things in the background that you don't really notice unless you have it up loud or on surround sound or in headsets. The footsteps or the climbing the ladder, just stuff that's off camera.
It's a pretty solid movie. So, like, I don't really have much to complain about. It didn't irritate me.
Hooray!
I guess that's high praise from you. Considering the fact, I don't mean that as derogatory as it sounds, I mean that considering the fact that it is a universal monster movie being reimagined and stuff like that, the fact that it's a complete retake and it could be a big negative for somebody that's a fan of those movies.
Hey, Sid, guess who was in the invisible suit the whole time? Cthulhu. It was Cthulhu.
It was Cthulhu the whole time.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know what? So, speaking of Cthulhu and Lovecraft, this one time, in one of my lesser great mentality days, when I was trying to podcast while I couldn't really think or do anything, I said H.R. Lovecraft, and I thought Cannibal was going to fucking teleport here and just kick me in the dick.
He had an aneurysm.
He immediately was like, H.P. And I was like, what? You just get a computer? Hewlett-Packard? He's like, H.P. fucking Lovecraft. And I'm like, yeah, what'd I say? Not really. I immediately caught it and was like, fuck, I just said H.R. Lovecraft. Wow, I am no longer allowed to talk about stuff.
Just say Lovecraft.
That's okay, because when we did the Josh Bezos movie,
Joe.
VFW. Shush. Yeah. You ruined it. Not really, but yeah. So we did the fucking VFW movie, and I was like, yeah, so Josh Bezos. And I said Jeff Bezos, and then I was like, oh my fucking God, I gotta stop talking. I've had some, I try, even when I'm not 100%. And it doesn't work out sometimes, because I say stuff that I don't even know how it comes out of my mouth. Like, I have a fucking screen open on my computer after the movie ends, like, you know, on my Plex, when the movie ends, it goes to the poster for the movie, and it's got the cast at the bottom.
The metadata. Mm-hmm.
Yes, all of my metadata. It says who directed the fucking movie right there, and who wrote it. And you know it said Joe Bezos right there. And instead of reading it or seeing it, and damn it, I can't see, I'm doing it right now. Instead of reading it and saying it properly, I look right at it, and I say, Josh. And I'm like, okay. Or Sid and I can record 5 fucking movies reviews that are Lovecraftian, or talk about H.P. Lovecraft for a week or for hours, and I'll still say H.R. Lovecraft out of nowhere. Like, what am I talking about? What am I doing? Why am I even... What are words?
I do that sometimes because my brain isn't processing as quickly as my mouth, it seems. You know, so I'm thinking while I'm talking about the next thing that I'm going to say. I don't even know if I catch myself a lot of the time.
Oh, man, I wish I didn't catch myself.
I wish I did.
I would rather it just go on without anybody noticing. But then again, I mean, it's good to point out, because at least, you know, when somebody listens to us, they're not like, wow, this guy's a tool.
Yes.
I know I fuck up, okay? It hurts me as much as it hurts you.
Du-du-du.
All right. So, let's get together. Yeah. Rating time. We can totally do your ratings now.
Thank you. I give it an 8.
Nice. You know what? I would actually be comfortable with that. I could totally go for an 8. I will round up.
It's 5.
No, I think if I had to guess, those opening credits are totally going to give them a 5.4.
I'd give it a 6.
I was going to say 7.
That's
but
high praise.
It's above average.
It's higher than the highest of old movies, which normally it's just a 5.
No, that's not true. I mean, we've done some old movies together that they got 3s or...
No, but I mean, he doesn't usually go above 5, which is max for old movies.
Yeah, well, old movies are kind of awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's a decent praise. I give it an 8 just because I normally dock things for their use of CGI, as well as just stupid little things. I try to pick stuff out of movies that could have been done better when I rate them, or that I don't like. I shouldn't say I try to. I have to, I guess, to give it an honest rating. But I really like the writing of this. I like the way that the story was reimagined and done with the whole held hostage, battered, abused wife leaving the husband, and the husband being a huge influence in what's the fucking word? The field of technology he works in with
optics.
Yes, thank you. That's one of those moments where my brain's not working. I love you for that. Thank you very much. That made that so much easier. Yes, in the field of optics, I like that play on it instead of, you know, going down the
potion
scientific fucking formula. Yeah, route.
I want to see a real Invisible Man movie now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. An actual adaptation of the original story. You mean H.R. Wells?
No, I know. It's H.G.
Yeah. So, I would definitely feel comfortable with the 8 because I liked the fact that I can't pick anything out from the CGI that wasn't done well except for one little thing. And I don't even know if it's it's not the CGI as much as it's an edit. But, also, like, the audio, I catch more and more each time I watch the movie from background noise.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Everything.
They really did. I think this movie was really well done by everybody. The cast, the crew. I mean, the actors are all amazing.
Yep.
The chemistry between them is really decent, he says. You know what? Adrian was decent.
Yeah, he was decent. They should have changed his last name.
Michael Dormer, I think, right? I think that's who played Tom, his brother.
I don't know.
I can't remember, but I think that guy did a really good job of playing a fucking...
You kind of go back and forth, seeing maybe he actually thinks he's dead, and then you find out that he doesn't, and then... But you kind
of... Yeah, and
I
he's
was surprised,
totally believable.
Actually, when they had that conversation in the psychiatric
meeting. I think the first time I saw it, I was... Because he totally plays it off really well in The Office with how... You know, he hated his brother and he was happy he was dead. And he was totally believable in everything he said. And then he's
bullshit.
A total douche.
He's in on it.
I don't know. He's super in on it. He's in the suit on it.
I would have liked this movie better if there was no Invisible Man, though. Like I said earlier, like if they ended it like High Tension, this movie would be fucking awesome in my head.
What, where it was just a figment of her imagination?
Like, you've seen High Tension, right? No.
I have not seen High Tension in a very long time.
High Tension?
But yes,
At the end, especially when other people look at her. Because she's been the one killing everyone. But whenever the one person that's seen her do it looks at her, she looks fucking terrified of her, and she's like, come here, I'm here to save you. That would be great for this type of movie, like this entire...
You are way creepier than her.
This movie would have been like if it ended like with her actually killing the daughter, and then actually her, and she just thought it was someone.
I don't think I would have liked it if she killed the daughter. I wouldn't have liked it if they killed the daughter. That would have broke my heart.
They should have threw her up and then, like, And then the cop would see her, like, killing the daughter, and then he's like, Adrian did it. And then...
You know, I wrote this movie a long time ago that I've never gotten anybody to look at. I've never actually tried to, but I think you would like it. I don't want to talk about it, but it kind of goes down that. I think I wrote it, 13 years ago now.
I've read some stories like that when I was in school, but like, this story would have worked, because you're going to go expecting Invisible Man.
It would have worked better for you.
I'm going, this is an Invisible Man movie, but the Invisible Man was in her head the entire time. And then it's not a Universal Monster movie.
That's what I think my mom thought.
And then it's not
a
Universal Monster movie. And then you could get a real Invisible Man movie, and it'd be okay.
Well, they could still do, an actual adaptation of Welles' work. Because this is, I mean, while it is Universal Pictures licensed, I would still consider this more of a Blumhouse movie than I would a Universal.
I'm not saying don't have the suit exist. Like, maybe that's why she believes it. Because he did make the suit. But he's not wearing the suit. It's all in her head. And then she goes and steals the suit from his house.
You would have to totally write that out for me to catch your train of thought on the other sequences in the movie, because so much shit happens to her and other people before she finds the suit.
I think she would have actually slit her sister's throat in the middle of everyone.
And punched the daughter in the face. And pulled the blankets off of herself.
That's in her head.
And taken the pictures of herself after the blankets were taken off.
Timer.
The pictures don't happen. We don't see that scene. Timer.
Well, no one else saw the phone, so.
Yeah, you're right. It could have been in her head. You know what? We should redo Hollow Man, too, where Kevin Bacon doesn't exist. I'm just kidding. I love that movie.
Well, I like things, or thinking about it differently than most things. Because, like, remember when we watched Color Out of Space? I was like, what if they are looking at these people as their normal people and he's just coming in and shooting them?
Yeah, where, yes.
What if she was the one that killed everyone? And after she killed everyone, she went and stole the suit.
No, she's got to steal the suit in advance so she can kill everyone while wearing the suit. She is the Invisible Man.
I think it'd go back and forth because she doesn't know she's the Invisible Man until she finds out she's the Invisible Man. So she would like go around killing people not knowing she has the suit, and then dealing with the consequences of people dying around her as she's thinking somebody else is killing them all.
So in the asylum or jail or whatever it was, instead of her stabbing somebody in the suit, she would have stabbed the guard and broke out, shot the other guards, went and murdered the daughter, and then sat there bloodied up waiting for James, and then killed him too, and then fled with all of her money.
Well, the money might not.
Well,
the money
actually,
might
she
not
didn't
even
get the
exist.
Money.
Ooh, and then the end scene could be her on both sides of the table, talking to herself.
No, the end of it would be her putting the suit on and then escaping. And she becomes like a...
Dude, they're going to listen to this podcast and be like, fuck, man. I want to see
it'd be
that
like a
version.
Slasher movie, but she, like, it's Invisible Woman.
It's
See,
like Invisible
it's
Woman
invisible
Interrupted.
Man. It's the Invisible Woman. Which is why they
well, because
do that.
The Invisible Man was in her
you ever
head.
Ever seen Girl Interrupted? This is like Invisible Girl Interrupted.
Okay, boys, I gotta get going.
Yeah, I should probably skedaddle. I gotta fucking eat something. I'm getting hungry again.
Yeah, I have kids asking me for toast, so it's time to cut it.
Ooh, hell yeah. I'm going to go put some honey on some toast. All
right, you go ahead and tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, Belladonna of Horror, and Slasher, Belladonna of Sadness.
And you can find me on all social platforms, most often Twitter and Slasher, at GeefBird, G-E-E-F Bird. Or you can catch me live streaming video games on Twitch at the same handle, G-E-E-F Bird. Or you could just listen to the podcast. It's pretty much the coolest thing I do.
And you can find me on Slasher under Slippery _ Cannibal. You can also find me on Instagram with Slippery _ Cannibal. Slip Cannibal on Twitter. And you could also like our page on Facebook.
Oh, shit, that's right. I went back on Facebook for the first time in 40 days yesterday.
You survived.
Yeah, you know what? I actually don't want to be on there anymore. I logged back in, and it was fucking ridiculous. I don't like Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Fuck Facebook, dude. The place is toxic and stupid.
Yeah.
But I will go back on there and like the page.
The page is just easier on Facebook. If I had another way to do it, I'd probably do it somewhere else. But Facebook is just easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, we could totally start at a Twitter, too. But it is easier to spread and promote on Facebook, sadly.
All right, so that was our episode. That was our opinions on The Invisible Man.
Yes, amazing movie. I will say it one more time. Really liked it. Please check this fucking movie out.
Then we're going to watch the original. Great. And then you could hear me gush over a movie.
That's not going to happen.
You didn't see me side-eye my phone.
We have so many things on the fucking slate for... Yeah.
All right, this episode.
All right.